This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm visiting with Nathan Pekarsik and Emily Delbriere of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy to learn about an organization I had no knowledge of before their report at the Foundation in general recommendations for international organizations and reform recommendations. The ITU dates from, well, most recently, from 1949. It is part of the United Nations. It is headquartered, believed, in Geneva. It has a leadership council. It also has a Chinese national of non-transparent origins in a leadership role. There is reason to believe that the Chinese plan involves, at some point, making standards around the world similar to those in China, which is, what you'd have to say at this point, snooping. Snooping all the time. There are more impolite words, but snooping will do for now. There are recommendations, and so, Emily, I begin with you. Your recommendation is that the ITU leadership post be chosen differently. How will that help, and is it credible to the UN to change its governance because China's non-transparent?
One of the big challenges with China's approach and the asymmetry that that creates is that the international governance system is intended to be neutral, is intended to create interoperability and collaboration, cooperation, whereas China uses this architecture to compete. And China, you know, deploys its officials to go into these organizations and to claim leadership roles and to do so in support of Beijing's national ambitions, not to serve as neutral arbiters of the international good, not serve as officials with technocratic mandates, but really to act as messengers and supporters of Beijing's national ambitions. And if the U.S. is to maintain the international normative system that undergirds the existence of this architecture more broadly, on the one hand, yes, the U.S. has to ensure that all countries can have a say in the global system, but also that that say is not going to mean the proliferation of one nation state strategy internationally and is instead going to be about maintaining the good of the international order. And so to that end, there need to be more restrictions. Two things. First of all, restrictions on the kind of, you know, ties that officials can have to their deploying nation state if they're going to serve in leadership roles. But also, the U.S., its allies, and its partners should sit together and recognize that Beijing is competing over leadership in the ITU and other similar organizations, and that we, as a multilateral system, need to create an election strategy that protects against the weaponization, Beijing's weaponization of this order to serve Beijing's interests.
Nathan, you recommend working with relevant U.S. industries. Are private sector industries in telecommunications not involved in the ITU? Do they ignore it?
No, they're involved, but I think they echo the sentiment and orientation that Emily just outlined, that Western companies approach these fora as honest and deliberative, collaborative mechanisms. And at a very basic level, that remains their mission. There is functionality to guaranteeing that technical standards can be interoperable and companies come and have a deliberative and negotiated approach to setting those standards at bodies like ITU. That makes sense. But at the same time, these companies need to be aware of the very clear and deliberate competitive orientation that China brings to these bodies. And that orientation is modeled by the Chinese players in leadership positions. It's modeled by the governmental actors that are a part of the organization from China. And it is most definitely modeled by the Chinese private sector players who participate in these fora alongside the U.S. private sector players. I think far too often U.S. private sector players either fall into the trap of assuming that we are in some normative good world of collaboration with the Chinese, or they're willing to sacrifice their long-term strategic positioning for short-term rewards. So working with the Huawei of the world may deliver lower costs at some segment of their supply chain, or may promise some aspect of access to the Chinese market, and they're willing to chase after those inducements while giving away the store and the longer term positioning vis-a-vis Huawei and the Chinese centralized industrial policy that backs them up.
Emily, to generalize again from reading your very specific recommendations, it would appear that private enterprise, at least as we understand in the United States, is living in a utopian universe, and that the Chinese are living in a universe of harsh conditions and control. Now, I'm generalizing on purpose because I want you to correct me. Is the language of private enterprise in the West and the language of the U.S. government utopian? And is there any evidence that it's correcting itself?
I think that you're precisely right. Private companies think that these are fora for collaboration and for exchange. Beijing thinks that they are fora for competition. And when you live in a world like that, it means that we keep passing the basketball to China and China keeps scoring on us. And it's really that simple. Is this changing? Perhaps, at least on the part of Washington, but only very slowly, and we still have an entire system that's built on assumptions of collaboration in these domains, and Beijing is adept at manipulating that system.
Nathan, I come to you for the summary now. Is it too late? Is it too late for this to be corrected? Has China gotten too big of a lead, Nathan?
I think they have more of a lead than is commonly recognized, which is scary, but it is not too late. They have weaknesses in their approach. They're not able to innovate. They don't invest in fundamental science and technology the way that the United States does. They think that they can sit downstream, manipulate international organizations like the ITU, and steal our lunch. If we are to wake up to that reality, reorient ourselves, get in the fight, compete and align with our private sector and motivate our private sector to also wake up and compete with China, it's not too late, because those are core enduring strengths that we have vis-a-vis the totalitarian Chinese Communist Party. But we're short on time.
Right. Got it.
It's not too late, but we need to start soon.
Nathan Pekarsik, when do you plant a tree? Today. Yesterday, and Emily Delaverriere of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, the International Telecommunications Union, right now half headquartered in Geneva and half in Beijing. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.